Welcome to the fifth sermon in our sermon series entitled, The Family of God. Today's sermon title, Adoption. Open your Bible to Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6, and let's begin.
O Lord, you reveal yourself to us as the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, but one essence. As the Trinity, you create the family of God. You adopt us out of the orphanage of ruined humanity. Each person of the Trinity acts to find your lost kids and bring them home. Grant us faith to trust your electing love, to trust your wisdom in predestination, and to trust your incomprehensible grace that you bestow upon us in the family of God. May we live to the praise of your grace. Amen. Octavius was from a middle-class family. He had a chance to live a good but average life that would never be remembered. But he got adopted. He was adopted by Julius Caesar because Caesar had no kids. And when Caesar adopted him, Caesar was the most powerful man in the Mediterranean world and one of the richest. So when the notorious assassins struck Caesar down in the Roman Senate, Octavius inherited 70% of everything Caesar owned. But he also inherited the name Gaius Julius Caesar. And he inherited the loyalty of Caesar's legions. So when the Civil War broke out, Octavius was in a good place to land on his feet. And that's exactly what happened. Because Caesar adopted him and gave him all these advantages, when the Civil War was over, Octavian was the most powerful man in the Mediterranean world. And he changed his name. He changed his name to the August One, Augustus, and changed history. Because of one act of adoption, world history changed. Because Caesar was willing to share the benefits of everything he owned with a young man who really wasn't his true son, Rome went from a city of bricks to a city of marble. And his name is remembered generation after generation. Adoption matters in the family of God. See, it's the only way you can get into the family of God. The only way you can become a member of the family of God is to be adopted. This is what the Apostle Paul said. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. The Trinity adopts us into the family of God. The word that gets translated adopt here really means it's a compound word that puts son and to put or place together. So it means to place as a son or to put in the place of authentic childhood. When God adopts you, he takes you out of the family of ruined humanity and he places you as a child in his family. Paul tells us that the Father elects his children, that Christ gathers the elect children into the family, and that the Holy Spirit blesses us and teaches us how to live in the family. It takes the entire Trinity to make you a child of God. So why is it that we have to be adopted? In our 20th century, this idea floated around that everybody is a child of God. Just not so. If you're a Bible reader, the Bible makes it very plain that there are two families in humanity. One is the family of man, and it's ruined. And the other is the family of God, and it's blessed. Not everyone, because you are a human being, is in the family of God. Originally, we were. Originally, Adam was called the Son of God. Originally, there was only one family. The problem is, like many human families, we tore the family apart. There came a day when in our family members said to God, I choose sin rather than your love. I choose not to be in your family. I reject your fatherly authority. And tore the family of man apart. Tore the family of God apart. And since that time, God has taken the initiative to choose out of the family of man a new family, the family of God. Einstein said, problems cannot be solved at the same level of thinking that they were created. And I want to use that idea to help you understand, we ruin the family of God, and we're not able to fix it. We created a problem that we can't fix. We created a problem that only God can fix. Do you get that? When we ruined the family of God, we created a problem that was beyond our level to solve. And so God solves it. He adopts us into his family. He shares his divine nature with us. He teaches us how to live well in his family. And I want to say, your family determines your future. Every person in this room is imprinted by your family. Your family gave you a leg up, or they tripped you. You're the person you are right now because of the context of the family you grew up in. Some of you grew up in wonderful families and it shows on you. Some of you grew up in difficult things and you've overcome it, but you still carry with you the shadow of that. It lingers. And church, I'm telling you, it makes all the difference in the world what family you're in. If you're in the human family, you have a problem that you can't solve. And so God says, I'm going to do something that overcomes the problem that man created. Out of the orphanage of ruined humanity, God calls another family. So what is the work of the Trinity? The Father chooses us. Now, I know that some of you grew up in churches that hated the word election. Church, we can't pry words out of the Bible we don't like. Do you get that? We can't take little pen knives and go through the Bible and start cutting out the stuff we don't like. We can do that, but we end up not being Christians. We end up being people who invent their own little religion. Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, clearly said, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And the word chose is the word, the Greek word that we get elect from. Eklek. Elect. It means to elect out of or to select out of. The adopter chooses the adopted. The adopted don't choose the adopter. Do you get that? If you go to an orphanage, what child wouldn't want a beautiful set of parents to bring them home? Those kids would pick any good parents. But out of all the children in the orphanage, the parents choose children. And God asks you to trust his wisdom. Whenever I talk about election, I have people get upset because somehow or another, they charge God with being unfair. Church, if I can't trust the wisdom of God, where am I as a Christian? If I can't trust the justice of God, what makes me think I trust God at all? If I don't believe, will not the God of all the earth do what is right, then I have no faith in God at all, no matter what I tell myself. Do you get this? The adopter chooses the adopted, and by faith, we trust the wisdom and the justice of God. Upon what does God choose his family? Upon his gracious nature, not based on our own intrinsic works. There's this idea out there that here's how God chooses us. He looks into the future and finds the good ones and picks them for himself. It's like being in elementary school again and getting picked for dodgeball teams. So if you're the captain likes you, he picks you. And if he doesn't like you, you get pushed off to the end. That seems ludicrous to me. Because God chooses us, it gives us a powerful relationship to him, and on every occasion we can pray, dear God, because you chose me and adopted me into your family, would you please help me? Would you please bless me? Would you please give me grace? Would you please give me wisdom? I have a powerful access in prayer if I'm willing to trust the wisdom and the grace and the justice of God in election. If I'm not willing to do that, then I put myself on a performance basis with God. God, you only picked me because I was a good boy. And I haven't been a good boy this week, so I know you're not going to bless me. Or you only picked me because I was a good woman and I haven't been so good this week, and so I know you're not going to bless me. That is no relationship to God. God didn't pick you because you were a good boy or a good girl. He picked you because he is infinite in mercy and grace and loving kindness. And because he picked you that way, he relates to you that way throughout eternity. You are his adopted child. He picked you. And what he wants to do is bless you in your rising up and in your lying down. You're coming in and in your going out. Can you trust the incomprehensibility of God, or do you only trust him when you have him figured out? I don't understand the electing love of God, but I trust him. Can you only trust God when you have him figured out? When God lines up with all your categories, then you trust him. But if God shows himself to be greater than your categories, and he acts in ways that are wise and infinitely good, but they're incomprehensible to you, do you say, I don't trust you in that area? Church, can you hear me this morning? Can you trust God to be wise and good and loving and just when you don't fully comprehend how he does what he does and why he does what he does? Hey, every parent in this room has had to say to their kids, whether you get it or not, I'm right. Huh? It's worse when they're teenagers. Then they think they're the adult and you're the idiot who is a teenager. Right? Anybody? There were times when I parented that I stopped trying to explain myself because I was getting nowhere. And I simply said, I don't care whether you understand or not, this is the way it's going to be. Parents? They had to trust you as a parent because they weren't capable of seeing from your perspective, right? Well, the same thing is true with my divine parent. I have to look at my Heavenly Father and say, sometimes I don't get it. Sometimes I don't understand who you are and why you do what you do. But you're still my Heavenly Father, and I'm still going to trust you. Or we shrink back and we start living in a relationship of suspicion with God. God, I will trust you as you prove this or that. The Father picked you. Can you hear this? You're here this morning because the Father picked you. You are so blessed. You are so blessed. It is a ridiculous thing that God would pick me. Look, I'm going to admit to you, if I were God, I would not have picked me. Billy Graham, I would have picked, yes. Mother Teresa, every day. But I want to tell you something about God. God picks not the cream of the crop all the time. Sometimes he reaches to the bottom of the barrel and says, I'm going to make something out of this person. Church? And because he does it, you and I have the ridiculous blessings of the fatherly care of God. And instead of being suspicious of him and instead of expecting him to do what you would have done, why not simply say, your grace is sufficient and I'm simply going to trust your infinite goodness and wisdom and live as faithfully as a child of yours as I possibly can because I appreciate you choosing me. The Father chooses us, and then Christ walks us into our destiny in the family of God. Here's another word that we want to cut out of the Bible, but here it is. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Predestined means to establish a boundary or a pathway beforehand. Predestination doesn't mean every time you fall, God predestined you to fall. Every time you sneeze, God predestined you to sneeze. That's micromanaging. That's not predestination. And God is not a micromanager. Predestination means boundaries or pathways. God creates a pathway through life for us so that in that pathway, we are running into his grace again and again and again and again. Do you see? When I'm on the pathway with Christ, I am encountering more of God's grace. Christ establishes our pathway into the family of God. And in theology, here's what it looks like. There are mile markers on this pathway. The first mile marker is Christ redeemed us. Do you understand this? To adopt you into the family, Christ died to forgive everything you do and ever will do that makes you not qualified to be in the family of God. Do you get that? I am qualified to be in the family of God because Christ redeems me. Everything that disqualifies me from being in God's family, Christ redeems. And then he regenerates us. That's what I talked about last week. He gives us the divine nature. And then when we have this divine nature, we're able to hear his call. At some point in our life, we hear God whispering to our hearts, give yourself to me, come home, surrender, be my child, trust me by faith. That is the pathway that God creates for us to be in the family of God. And then we have what's called conversion. We have a moment in our life where we say, yes, yes, I want to be in your family. Yes, I accept your grace. Yes, I accept your forgiveness. We say yes when the Father says, you're mine. We say, yes, I want to be yours. And then there's this ongoing life work of sanctification where God makes us more and more competent to live in his family. That's predestination. That's the pathway. Do you get it? It's not whether you sneeze twice tomorrow in your car. That's micromanaging. The pathway is God's great idea that walking with Christ, we go from being people who are ruined to people who are qualified to be the children of God. Christ walks us into God's will. Look what it says. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Christ Jesus according to the purpose of his will. If you're willing to, you can experience Christ's guiding you every day of your life. If you're willing to. Do you get it? As the second person of the Trinity, Christ is in your life every day, nudging you toward God's will for you. The question is, are you paying attention? Did this ever happen to you, parents? You are absolutely sure you told your kids something very, very plainly and clearly. And then after the event, they go, you never said that. Parents, anyone? I can't complain about my kids. I was a worse kid than all of them put together. So my poor parents. I've had my children look me in the face and say, you never said that. And then I want to choke them to death. I said it, they just weren't listening. Parents, I wonder how many times God has said to us, this would be good. This would be bad. Do this. You better avoid this. And we went on to find trouble in our lives because we just weren't listening. Do you get it? You can experience the family of God. You can experience your spiritual adoption every single day if you have a listening heart. And you're looking for Christ in your daily life. The Father chooses us. The Son walks us into God's eternal purpose. And the Holy Spirit blesses us with spiritual blessings of the family of God, who blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now, I want to make a point. Spiritual blessings require the work of the Holy Spirit. They're spiritual blessings. Right? Spiritual blessings are a way of saying the Holy Spirit is at work mediating the good stuff of God to us. I am adopted into the family because the Holy Spirit is mediating the blessings of God into my life and teaching me how to live in the family. Some of you have experience with adoption and foster parenting. The children have to be taught how to live in your home. Because often, the homes they've lived in were such a wreck, they didn't know how to live well in a healthy family and a healthy relationship. Is it true? It's one of the challenges of adopting and foster parenting. Teaching a child to let go of the past and learn a new way of living in a healthy family. They have many unhealthy experiences in the past, and it forms them into certain behaviors. But when you bring them into your family, you have to find gracious and loving ways to teach them how to live in a healthy family. Right? That's exactly what God is doing. He adopts us into his family, and he doesn't expect us to be geniuses and know-it-alls and figure it out all by ourselves. His Spirit blesses us and says, I'm going to teach you how to live well in this healthy family of God. You're coming out of the orphanage of ruined humanity, and you got things wrong, and your life isn't working. But in my family, my Spirit is going to be with you day by day, and I'm going to teach you how to live well in the family of God. I can't believe someone won't say amen. All right, thank you. The spiritual blessings not only teach me how to live in the family of God, but they give me the power to do it. Often, it's not that I don't know what I should do, it's that I don't want to do it, and I don't have the power to make myself do it. Okay, you're much better than that, but many of us find that to be true. It's not that I don't know what to do, it's that I just can't find the self-discipline to do it. Well, guess what? In the family of God, it doesn't all have to come from me. I have learned to pray, Dear God, I am in your family, and I know what you want. But sadly, I don't want it. And so I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to work on me and change my character. I'm asking you right now in this moment to work on me so that my heart wants more of what you want. Isn't that a beautiful family prayer? You're capable of helping me live in your family better, and in this moment, I'm praying for that grace. In this moment, I feel rebellious against you as my Father, but I'm praying that your Spirit would bless me with the spiritual blessings of strength so I have the strength to trust you and do in this moment what you want me to do, because you're my Father and I'm your Son. Church, what parent here wouldn't respond to that? If my child came to me and said, I know what you want, but I don't want it. Would you please help me through this? What parent's heart wouldn't melt? And what wouldn't we do to try to figure out a way to help them? If we're evil and know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father do good for us? The spiritual blessing of the Holy Spirit is not just to tell me how to live well in the family. He empowers me to do it. And day by day, he matures us to be more like God, and so we fit better and better in the family of God. More and more, I give up the damage of living in the orphanage of ruined humanity, and I grow and blossom into a beautiful soul in the family of God. Church, I let go of the damaged behaviors, and I learn how to live well in the family of God. And I can't think of anything in life that's more beautiful than that. You see, every good parent wants their kids to have a good education. Parents, didn't you fuss with your kids about doing their homework? Well, some of the kids I'd have to fuss with, they just did it. Other than the kids, I had to fuss with them. Let me see your paper. Huh? Anybody ever say that? Let me see your paper. My Heavenly Father is much better than I am, and he wants me to have an education. Church? But he wants me to have an education that's greater than just in one lifetime. He wants me to have an eternal education, an education that will help me in this life and in the world to come. And he has sent his adopting spirit to educate me so I can be the best child of God I possibly can be. So what do we do? Basically, this splits, I've done this long enough, this splits out in two categories. Some people get mad because they say, I can't believe God would choose some and not others. And they go away with an unpleasant attitude toward me or God. God can take it better than I can, to tell you the truth. Other people say, I owe God something because of this. I owe him the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. Here's what I owe. I owe God the praise of being so ridiculously gracious to me. I don't owe him insults based on him doing something that I don't understand or think is unfair. Do you get this? Because this is how it splits. This is exactly how it splits. People feel insulted, and they think God is unjust, or I've not represented him properly. Or something happens in our heart, and we go, God, that you would pick anybody from the orphanage of the ruined is an incredible expression of your grace. Do you get it? He didn't need the hassle of all of us orphans. You got that? He didn't pick one orphan. He picked millions and millions and millions of orphans. And if you think it's hard to adapt one child to a new way of living, God is adapting millions and millions and millions of us. Do you get it? And he's doing it simply because he is a ridiculous, good, and loving God. And when I think that he would pick anyone, I'm shocked. And when I think that he would pick me, something in my heart humbles myself before him. And I say, I praise you for your glorious grace. I don't deserve any of this. You are so remarkable. I worship you for your infinite goodness. God adopting us says, at his core, he is a gracious being. Adoption is a beautiful act of grace. God adopting us exposes the incredible love in his heart. God has enough love that he can change millions and millions of ruined kids and make us acceptable in his sight and call us beloved. Hey, church, you have a heavenly Father who has been looking for you. You don't have to wave a report card to him. You don't have to prove that you're worthy. But when he shows up, you got to be ready to follow him. Church. Because I'm telling you right now, you have a Heavenly Father who's either found you or he's looking for you right now. You have a Heavenly Father who's going to, when he picks you, he's going to bless you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You have a Heavenly Father that wants nothing but what is good for you. You have a Heavenly Father who's ready to fix the damage that living in the orphanage of ruined humanity has done to you. You have a Heavenly Father that right now is preparing a place for you that where he is, there you may be also. Being adopted into the family of God is the most awesome thing that God ever did. And it's the greatest blessing you'll ever receive. Our dear Heavenly Father, I call upon your name. I call upon your name. I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray especially for those who this morning need to say yes to you. As your Spirit moves across their heart, they need to say yes to you. They need to take the hand of Christ by faith and let him walk them into the family of God. They need to open their heart and receive the spiritual blessings that you give freely to make us competent to be part of your family. And I pray that your Spirit would do that good work in souls right now. I pray that all over this room, there would be hearts that are saying to you, yes, thank you for adopting me into your family. Yes, I want to go home with you. Yes, I want your Spirit to be at work in me, making me more like you and repairing the damage of ruined humanity in me. I pray for those who have been adopted and there was a time in their life they lived well in your family. But somehow or another, life pushed them and shoved them and they made some wrong choices and they feel far from you. They haven't been home for a long time. I pray that Christ would take the hand of those souls this morning and say, you're welcome home. I have redeemed you. The things that you are ashamed of and the things that keep you from home, I've already forgiven. Come home. You don't have to live alone. I pray that the Holy Spirit would whisper to hearts and say, I have spiritual blessings for you. And the hearts would say, yes, I receive them. And I pray that your family would thrive this morning. And I ask it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.